Good morning.
Morning.
Today is Mother's Day. Are you grateful for your mother?
Yeah.
That's right. You wouldn't be here without her. Well, you owe her a lot. Today we're in the book of Romans. We are beginning on this journey, very long journey on the book of Romans, and the passage today is on the introduction. And you would think that introduction would be very short. But Paul, the apostle, is a very intelligent man, and he packs a lot in his introductions. And it would be easy just to go past the introduction and get right into the bulk of the message in the epistle. But we're going to go into that introduction, and we're going to see what he said as he prepared the readers to receive this letter. Now, some of you may have an outline in your bulletin. We don't have the PowerPoint for the message today, so if you want an outline, you can get one in the foyer or, again, in your bulletin. If not, I'll walk through it as we go either way. As we're thinking about greetings, salutations, the opening of this letter, I was thinking about some greetings for us this morning, being Mother's Day. So I have two or three greetings here that I want to share with you for Mother's Day. So you'll hopefully appreciate this. Here's one. Mom, you've given me so much. Love from your heart and the warmth of your touch. The gift of life, and you're a friend to me. We have a very special bond which only comes from God. I'm sure you agree. As a child, I would say, Mommy, I love you. Isn't that great? Let's do another one here. My mom is a never-ending song in my heart of comfort, happiness, and being. I may sometimes forget the words, but I always remember the tune. One more for you ladies, you moms. Never in this life have I met a lady so beautiful, so elegant, and so lovely. You are the prettiest of them all, dear mother. I love you. Happy Mother's Day. Isn't that great? Aren't your moms beautiful? Aren't mothers beautiful? Isn't that great? It's great to embrace loving our moms. Christ tells us through the Apostle Paul to love our moms. You can read that in Ephesians, but today we're in Romans. So I've opened up with some greetings. We're going to be reading about the greeting today. So if you would, open to Romans chapter 1. Before we get started, I would like to take time and pray this morning. And then we'll get into the greeting, the opening of Romans. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we can be here. We thank you that we have a pastor and a church that loves your word and is concerned in a good way about our faith and our beliefs. We thank you. And with that in mind, we're going to dig into your word even more, and we ask for your help today to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Part one on the outline title, a salutation, the gospel concerning his son. What's in an introduction? What do you usually have in an introduction? The to and the from. A memo or an email, you may have a subject line. Sometimes we quickly text, howdy, how you doing, what's up? If you text all that, texting, you might not even text that. Paul, what did you say? Hey, okay, that will work. Well, the Apostle Paul had a little more to say than hi and howdy and hey. He's introducing his epistle, so we're going to see what he has to say today. He's setting up this message, and what he presents in the introduction, these seven verses, is setting the tone for the rest of the book. And he's going to come out and say, this is the gospel of God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And he, as the Apostle Paul, is a servant to the gospel of God. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to see that this salutation, these seven verses, has four components to it. Paul's going to address the fact that he's a chosen servant. He's going to address the fact that he knows the Son of God, of course, and the gospel is about the Son of God. He's going to speak about the fact that he's a steward of this ministry. And he's also going to address the people of Rome as the beloved saints. So we're going to see in this greeting about the servant of God, the son of God, the steward of God's ministry, and the beloved saints. Would you join me this morning as we start reading in verse 1 of chapter 1? We're going to read the first 7 verses, and then we're going to talk about the servant of God, the Apostle Paul. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the opening of the letter to the people in Rome from the Apostle Paul. And what does he have to say? He says he is a servant. Would you go, join with me as we look at verses 1 and 2? A chosen servant. The Apostle Paul, as he introduces himself, he says, I am a servant of God. And what type of servant is he? A bond servant. We know from Acts chapter 9, we're not going to go there, but if you go back in Acts chapter 9, you can read about where the Apostle Paul was saved. So you see, the Apostle Paul was once Saul from Tarsus, and he was so zealous for his understanding of religion, not even the right religion, but his understanding of it, his violent approach to religion, that he was going to go out and destroy and kill people that would oppose what he believed the Bible said. So he was on his way to a place called Damascus in Acts chapter 9 to go and capture and imprison and perhaps kill people that would stand against what he believed the Bible said. He didn't believe the right thing about the Bible. That's just what he believed about the Bible. And on his way, he had a slight detour. Jesus Christ himself shows up on the path and says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? That's right, not people, it's me. Because truly, everything happens to us, it affects Christ. Why are you persecuting me? And he changes Paul's life at that moment, sends Paul to a man named Ananias. Ananias says, this is Saul the murderer, God. What do you want me to do with him? And he says, this is my servant. He's going to be a witness to the Gentiles, and he's going to learn to suffer for my name's sake. And from that point on, what is Paul then? He's a servant. He's a servant of God, a servant of Jesus Christ, whom he used to try to destroy by killing God's people. And now he's a servant. He's now surrendered to Jesus Christ. He addresses himself also as an apostle in this greeting. As he opens up in verse 1, he says, I, Paul, I'm writing the letter. I am a servant of Christ, and I am an apostle. And I find it interesting that he put the word servant ahead of the words apostle. I think Paul maybe is trying to make an order of precedence here, that he sees that being a servant of Jesus Christ is number one. Being an apostle falls behind that. So here we see this servant, an apostle, chosen by whom? Who chose the apostles? God did. There was one exception. As they replaced Judas in Acts, I believe Acts chapter 1, they chose a man. But it was the apostles themselves that got together, and they prayed, and they set the qualifications, and they decided through the process to choose the replacement for Judas. But essentially, all the apostles are appointed directly by God. So Paul has been appointed as a servant by God, a specific men, a group of men chosen by Christ to serve him. But Paul does not glory in this office. As Paul introduces the letter, he does not say, I am the Apostle Paul, and I am really good, and I am really smart, and I am really important. Because there are only a few of us in this world. There was 12 minus 1 plus a replacement plus me. You can do the math. And that's a small group, and I'm one of those people. That's not how he addresses himself. He says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ, an apostle, which is chosen by Jesus Christ. And I have a purpose. I am set apart for what in verse 1? What is he set apart for? To glorify his own ministry? To make a name for himself? For the gospel of God. The purpose this man has is to serve Jesus Christ in the gospel ministry. And in speaking of this gospel, where did it come from? We know it came from God, it came from Jesus Christ. Jesus is the reason we have the gospel. But it started long before Jesus came to the earth in the form of a man. You see, Paul, as he's addressing himself and introducing himself, saying, I'm a bondservant, I'm an apostle, I'm set apart for the gospel of God. And by the way, the gospel that I'm talking about, it started way back in the Old Testament. He says in verse 2, this gospel, which was he promised, God did, God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You see, in the Old Testament, you can read the book of Isaiah, and there's all kinds of stuff about Christ in Isaiah. You can read about his suffering in Isaiah chapter 53. You can read about from David in Psalm 22 about how Christ would suffer. You can read in the book of Daniel, and Daniel, through prophecy, tells us the exact year that Jesus Christ was to come. You can read in the book of Micah and see where he was to be born. You see, the Old Testament was full of information about this coming Messiah. And Paul, in opening the book of Romans, addressing himself as a servant of the gospel, says this gospel, it goes way back. Now, Jesus just died at this point in time fairly recently, but this message goes back. And God's been telling us Jesus was coming for hundreds and thousands of years, all the way back to Genesis. In the garden, he said to the snake, he will crush your head. And that was the first telling that we knew a Messiah, a Savior was coming. So Paul makes mention of this great gospel. It started way back in the Bible, long before Paul himself. Promised of God. And does God keep his promises? Yes, he did. He sent Jesus Christ. So this gospel has at its center a certain person. Who is the central figure in the gospel? Jesus Christ. Now we know God the Father, of course, plays a key role in that. It is his Son, after all. But Jesus Christ, he's the one that came to earth, born of a virgin. He's always existed, but he came to earth in the form of a man, born of a virgin, to die on a cross and to raise from the dead. And Paul, having discussed that he is a servant to this gospel, he now says in section 2, verses 3 and 4, I want to talk to you about the Son of God. I want to tell you, in this greeting, I want to tell you the Son of God's important. And he's going to tell him some things about the Son of God. He's going to tell him about Jesus' birth and Jesus' power. Let's see what he says in verses 3 and 4. Concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh. Who was Jesus' mother? Mary. Who was Mary's great, 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 .. grandfather? David. What was one of the promises made? That's right. The Messiah, the King, has to come from David. He will take David's throne, not take it by force, but he inherits it. He's the rightful heir to it. There is a coming day. We will say, he's the King. There he is. He sits on the throne. We see it. And Jesus Christ, what Paul says here is, I'm going to tell you in this letter, as I'm introducing it, about Jesus, and that he was born in the flesh, and he's the rightful King. It's about him. Not only was he born in the flesh, and as such, he's the right to the King. He has a right to the kingdom anyway, doesn't he? He owns it all. But he was also declared, verse 4, the Son of God with power, by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus Christ wasn't just born a man. He was declared God by the Holy Spirit, rising him from the dead. Who else raises from the dead? Doesn't happen often, does it? No. He was declared the Son of God by the power, with power, by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, this gospel that Paul is proclaiming, it's very powerful, and it focuses on Christ, and he's a servant to that gospel, and this was foretold long ago in Scriptures. And now Paul wants to tell us in this greeting that he is a steward of this gospel. What's a steward? Someone who cares for something, right? If you're a landowner and someone owns the land, and they say, look, I'm going to give you this land, and I'm going to give you the seed, and there's the water source. I want you to plant it. I'll come back in the fall and sell it, and I'll pay you. I'll pay you a little bit along, but then we'll take care of that. You're my steward of this. So Paul, having addressed this powerful gospel in this introduction, says, I'm a steward of this. This is what I've been called to do. He says in verses 5 and 6, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are called, are the called of Jesus Christ. We'll stop there. This is just an introduction. There's a lot of stuff here. He's just saying, hi, my name's Paul. I'm writing a letter to you in Rome. But I'm going to throw some more stuff in there. So he's a steward. He's a steward of the gospel. Where does he receive grace and apostleship from? Who gave it to him? Jesus. Do you think the apostle who used to be Saul of Tarsus, the murderer, did he need grace? Of course he did. This man was going around dragging people out of their houses and killing them or watching them be killed. Either way, he needed grace. Did he deserve to be called an apostle? Did he earn it? Was he such a good guy that Jesus said, you know, Paul, I'm interrupting you on the road to Damascus, and I just want to tell you, you're a great guy. And I've got a really awesome surprise for you. I'm going to make you an apostle because you, buddy, you earned it. And I don't show up on the scene much, so everybody stop and just pay attention here. You are the man. So congratulations. You're the last of the apostles. I'm coming back to tell you that in person. Way to go, boy. No, he doesn't do that. You're a mass murderer. Stop killing my people and start serving me. And Paul says, okay, I'll do that. He makes him an apostle, not by anything he had done to earn it, but because Jesus Christ had a purpose for this man's life, and he definitely needed the grace of God. Amen. And he declares that in this part of this introduction in verses 5 and 6. He's just a steward. I'm a steward. I received grace. I didn't earn it. I received apostleship. I didn't earn it. And there's a reason why God gave it to me. And why did he do that? Why did God give him this ministry? Was it to make Paul look good? No. There's a reason. What are the reasons? What does it say? To bring about what in verse 5? The obedience of faith among how many Gentiles? All of them. Even those ones that bow down to sticks and statues and kill their animals and try to offer them to gods that don't exist. Guess what, Paul? You're going to be an apostle, and you're going to go tell them that. And used to be, you didn't like those people because they didn't follow your religion, or your version of it anyway. And now you got to go serve those people and tell them about Jesus Christ. And they're not always going to like you, and you might not always like them. But you're going to go do it because I saved your soul, and you're going to go tell them that I'm going to save their souls as well. And Rome is one of those places you're going to go. You're going to go and you're going to tell them about the obedience of faith among the Gentiles for whose sake, verse 5? Who gets the glory for all of this? Christ gets the glory. You see, Paul wasn't going around trying to win people to Christ so that he can be important, you know, like some kind of spiritual pyramid scheme. If I get enough people here, I can promote some of them, and then I'll get on top of those and I can promote them, and I'll work my way to the top. No, his ministry to the Gentiles was so that Jesus Christ would be honored. And of course, people would be saved as well. But it's for God's glory, so that Christ becomes exalted as the Savior, which he is, and spreading the gospel, which they need. And Paul is a steward of that. Paul is a steward of that message. He's to go to all the Gentiles, no respect of person. God says, you go into Rome. You go throughout the Mediterranean. We actually think Paul may have gone up into Spain. I think he was actually from that area, but forgive me there. I'm not sure about that. But he traveled throughout parts of the lower parts of Europe and throughout the Mediterranean telling people about Jesus Christ. And those people in turn traveled. And those people in turn traveled. And eventually it made its way up into Europe and across the sea to where? To here. He's telling him, this is what I've been asked to do by Jesus Christ. That's why I'm writing you this letter in Rome, because you people in Rome are Gentiles. You aren't Jewish people. You're Gentiles. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. Take a guess which one you are. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. If you're a Gentile, you're not a Jew. There you go. Very simple. Go tell the ones that are Gentiles, Paul. That's your ministry. It doesn't mean he didn't love Jews. It doesn't mean that. It just means God called him specifically to this ministry. So, here we see Paul, a chosen servant, set apart for this specific ministry, an apostle by the grace of God, with this great and glorious gospel of the Son who is the King, the rightful King, the Son who was declared with power from God by the Holy Spirit, a steward of this message, a steward who is going to tell these beloved saints. As we look at verse number 7, he's going to tell these beloved saints. And that's what this book is about, telling these people. Verse 7, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the recipients. Paul's the sender. Verse 7, the recipients. It would have been so much easier if he just said, people in Rome, here's a letter. Well, we would have missed out on so much, though. So he says, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called us saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think the people in Rome worship God properly? Did they have a great, majestic history of walking with God? No, they didn't. Greek mythology, maybe? Yeah, some of that going on, a lot of that going on. It's funny, these people that have been saved, who know God, these pagan idol worshiping Greek mythology people, they've turned to Christ, and how does he address them in verse 7? Beloved of God. So the gospel is powerful enough that God says, I love you so much. I don't care what your past used to be. I don't care if you once worshiped at statues and sacrificed your own children and did terrible things. My Son paid the price for that. And you people in Rome, Paul says, you are the beloved of God because of Christ, because of what Christ has done. You're the beloved of God. He calls them saints. Funny thing is, they don't need a church to be called saints, do they? They don't need a statue to be called a saint, do they? No miracles have to be performed to call them a saint, do they? He says, to the beloved in Rome of God, called as saints. So you don't have to live in New Orleans either to be a saint. All right, you just have to know Jesus Christ to be a saint. He tells them, I want you to have grace and peace from God in verse number 7. That's a pretty generic Paul thing. Pretty much all his letters, when he opens them up, he says, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of like saying, Dave Schell, I got to write you a letter, sincerely, Clint. And I write another letter and I say, sincerely. That's just his way of doing it. And it would be easy to say it doesn't mean anything. But if Paul wrote it, it must mean something. If he says this over and over and over again when he introduces Corinthians and when he introduces Ephesians and all of his other writings, he uses this little same grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think he's trying to say something about how important this is? Yeah. You want grace? Where does it come from? God the Father. You want peace? Where does it come from? Jesus Christ. God the Father and Jesus, both together there on that one. That's their plan. You want grace, you want peace, it's got to come from God the Father and Jesus Christ. So as he's writing all these letters to all these people, he's saying, guess what? You need grace, you need peace, and you got to get it from God, and you got to get it from the Father. And I'm telling everybody about this in every letter I write. It's my generic signature. All right. Grace and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. What is grace? You earning something, right? No. Grace is a reward you receive for nothing you've earned. Favor from God for things you haven't done to earn it. Grace and peace. What is peace? Is it a warm, fuzzy feeling? Gosh, I hope not, because it doesn't last very long. Peace. We don't know, if we don't know God, we are at war with God. And it's a war that we're going to win, right? If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're at war with God. And he's pleading to you to surrender. Throw up the white flag. Your time is limited. You're a finite creature falling apart, heading toward the grave. I'm infinite God. Who do you think's going to win this battle? Put up the white flag and accept Christ. That's all you have to do, and I'll put the guns down. Now, God's not out to destroy you. I don't mean to imply that. But I'm saying grace is from Jesus Christ, and peace, the war with God, is over. You don't have to fight it anymore. You don't want to fight that fight. Make peace with God through Jesus Christ. Put down the fight. He wants you to be the beloved of Back Mountain. The chosen servant. We saw in verses 1 and 2, Paul was a chosen servant. Chosen by Jesus Christ. Set apart for a specific mission to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the Gentile world. That was his specific mission. In his introduction, he talks about the Son of God. We discussed how Christ is the rightful heir to David's throne as king. And he was declared with power through the resurrection as the Son of God. Paul is a steward of this gospel, a steward to present the gospel, having received grace, having received apostleship from God. And this stewardship has a purpose to share the gospel and to bring glory to Jesus Christ, not glory to the Apostle Paul. And we see that in verse 7, these are the beloved saints of God. Many folks in Rome at this point were yet to hear the gospel, but some had. And he's already saying, if you know Christ, you're the beloved of God. And that's who I'm writing this letter to. And of course, we all benefit from that, this letter. Isn't it great that he wrote this letter to those people? Isn't it great that the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this letter to those people? Some closing thoughts. As Paul addressed himself early in the letter as an apostle, he first addressed himself as a what? A servant. The position of servant is very important. We don't like that word, do we? I don't want to be a servant. I don't want to clean up your table. I don't want to take out your trash. I don't want to do that. I want you to do it for me. You be the servant. We want everybody else to be servants, but we don't want to be servants. And then how does that work, actually? Because if everybody else is a servant and I'm not, or vice versa, that never work. It doesn't work out, does it? Nobody wants to be everybody. No one wants to be a servant. Everyone wants to be served. And Paul says, I am a servant. I came to serve Jesus Christ. And that's before I address myself as an apostle. I am a servant. How about the gospel? Is the gospel just a simple Bible verse, Jesus died for you? It is that. It is that. But is there much more to it? It's a love letter from God that he started writing in the Old Testament. When man first fell in the Garden of Eden, God looked at him and said, I will send a Savior, and he will destroy this snake, Satan, and he will bruise my heel, meaning I'm going to suffer some pain. My pain will save your soul. A love letter. All throughout the Old Testament, I'm coming. I'm coming. Here's when I'm coming. Here's where I'm coming. Here's what I'm going to be like. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's the city I'm going to be born in. Here's the date that I'm going to be born. No surprises, I'm coming. And Paul told them that in this little introduction. And the gospel is for the saving of souls and the glory of God. We go out and we spread the gospel to the world. Paul spread it to all the Gentiles. Do we have Gentiles around us that need the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yes, we do. Are we now the stewards of that message? Yes, we are. We're reading the book of Romans. We're now the stewards of this message. We're now to go out and tell the world about Jesus Christ. And we do it so we can have a big church and a big fancy sign, right? Well, those things might happen. We need those tools, you know. But we do it for God's glory. So Jesus Christ can be exalted. Jesus, look at the harvest for you. Look at the souls for you. And Paul, in this little introduction, he said that. It's for his name's sake. Why do we go into the prisons? Why do we knock on doors? Why do we give out tracts at work? Why do we give out DVDs? Why do we sit on our knees praying, dear God, please help us to be better witnesses? For God's glory. Amen. And we should still do it today as Paul did it then. And also for us today, this is the last little thought for us today. Do we still need grace and peace today? Amen. That was a generic statement Paul wrote, and it was certainly a powerful statement. And it was not without purpose. I don't think he was just saying sincerely just to say sincerely. I think he was making a point. We all need grace. First to be saved and second to walk the Christian life. And we all need peace. First to end the war with God. You don't need to fight God. It's a losing war. You need peace with God through Jesus Christ. And you need peace every day to keep the relationship clean. You're not going to lose your salvation, but the relationship can get a little muddy sometimes. Not God's fault. It's our fault. We need grace and peace today, and people around us need grace and peace today. And no one is too far away. No one is too far away. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and as I'm praying, we're going to have some music playing in the background. And so just all these thoughts today. The book of Romans is going to be a long journey. This is just the introduction. This is just Paul saying, hello, I'm Paul. I'm writing you a letter about Jesus. And you're in Rome and God loves you. Here's the letter. That's all we said today. That's all it was. But what a powerful introduction. A servant of God, the gospel of God, a steward of the gospel of God, and the beloved saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's time to get started into the letter. Are you ready for the letter? 25 hours, let's go, right now. No. It doesn't work that way. No, we're going to pray. We're going to pray, and you take a moment and just think about what God is saying through the book, at least this part of the book. And let's just take some time and get our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ right now. Let's pray. Lord, you are the Lord. You are our Savior. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. You call us the beloved of God. God, help us to tell those around us about Jesus Christ. Help us to realize that we can have grace and peace from you. Help us to lay down the fight and the war that we wage with you. And accept your terms of peace, which are Jesus Christ. Send us out this week to spread the message for your honor and your glory. We thank you for this message and what you're going to do through the many sermons that we dig into your letter to the book of Rome, to the people of Rome. We thank you. Go with us this week. Amen.